But when God comes along and says, I want you to get out of that place to another place that I'm calling you into, then we start to panic and we get nervous about that. And it becomes difficult. It's always a case where God wants to unleash blessings upon us, that He wants to take us to a place of blessings, that He wants us to get out of where we are. So I'll always look at my own life, and in my own story, when I see where I am at the present moment and see what I am attaining and what I've attained and what fruits are in my life and in my ministry, then I begin to think of where I am. Did I get out? Out of my security, my comfort, out of the ordinary, and go into the unusual, go into the unknown, go into a place that may not seem comfortable. Canaan was a wild place at that time. That's the place that God was leading him into. Oh God, not Canaan. You know, take me from Willenlock. Bring me to Tetnal. Tetnal Woods, maybe. That looks good. Oh, not that place, God. Ooh, wow. Like when they told me, when I left to come to Wolverhampton, right? I didn't know anything about Wolverhampton. I didn't even research it on the internet. I'm glad I didn't. Out of darkness cometh light. Let's be positive about Wolverhampton. That's what they say, right? And that's the motto. Out of darkness comes light. So we meet a friend, a close friend of mine, and a really good guy, and he's always positive. And he lived in London. We hadn't connected. We were from the same church. We hadn't seen each other for a long time. So he's based in London. And we meet at the airport in Johannesburg. We're taking off flight to come here to England. First time, family, lock, stock and barrel, all our stuff we've got in bags. And we're moving on the first day. And then he comes along and he says, well, here's some money here. You guys are going to buy some pizzas or get some food and things like that. And I don't know why he blessed us with money anyway. Because we were quite blessed when we came in, isn't it? And then he said this. He said, where are you going to? I said, Wolverhampton. He said, Wolverhampton? I tell you what, you know, all the fear could come and the red lights could come on in our life thinking, did we hear God? Then he went on to say, it's like the Wild West. What? Wolverhampton? He did say it. He said it's like the Wild West because at that time they had some shootings here, right? And there was some violence in Wolverhampton. And when you hear of violence in England, you know it's a big thing, isn't it? If there's a shooting or some kind of crime. But where I come from, we had gunshots every night. I was living in a city in Durban, in Johannesburg. Literally, you hear gunshots going off. Because I've been working out in the wild anyway, doing the work of evangelism, I don't want to go to a place where the gospel is known. And Paul said, you should go to a place where the gospel is not known so that you don't build on somebody else's foundation. You want to go to reach new souls into the kingdom of God. That's why we rejoice over Agenda and many others that come to the Lord who don't know. This is what our purpose is, not so that we can fill it with other believers and Christians that come from all different churches. We want to fill the church with people that don't know Jesus Christ, that are out there in the world that need a sense of hope and looking for some strength that they can only find in God. And when they come in here, they'll meet a family and then we will start to teach them all about Jesus Christ. That's what our purpose is. So I thought, well, that's a big challenge for me. It is scary, as he says, but I thought in my spirit, well, bring it on, Lord. So Abraham had to get out of his comfort zone. Let's go back to the word. Get out of his security, get out of the usual. God is saying something to you today. God has called you to do something. What are you trusting God for in your own life, right? And in most cases, the things that we are trusting God for, we're focusing on that thing that we want so desperately or so much in need of that we're forgetting about the getting out part of it. And in most cases, when everything works out and fits perfectly well, God, if you can send me, download some good stuff on the internet about Canaan and about the place I'm going to, give me some good references, some good leaders out there that will stand with me, respect me, and work with me, and then I will go. No problem. He didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? There was no internet there anyway. But he could have done all his research. He was a wealthy man, the Bible says, when he left his father's house. Who wants to leave the place of wealth and comfort? The businesses that grow their businesses and become more successful are the businesses that want to take risk when they are making money. They look for other ways of growing their money and investment. We hope that Dwight Dunbar will come and teach us some things of how he became successful in America with these restaurants and so on. So that's what it is, isn't it? So? And that's what it is. Another way to spell faith is R-I-S-K, risk. Going into the unknown. He had to get out. Before he received the promises and the blessings of God, he had to do something. Now, we could have heard all the prophecies and all the great things spoken about our lives, and we can hold on to the promises of God, write them big and bold, and put them in our home and in our churches. But if we haven't got out of where we are to where God wants us to go to and make that effort and walk towards that, you are not going to receive that, and I'm not going to receive the blessings and the promises that God has for my life. It's not going to just fall into my lap. Isn't so? We tell our kids that if you want to make something out of your life, go and get educated, study hard, and you will make it. But if they sit at home and they don't want to study and they don't want to write their exams and they don't want to work hard, they're not going to produce good results, and at the end, they're going to suffer from that, isn't it? So likewise, God always has something waiting for us when we get out of that comfort zone, when we get out of the ordinary, the usual, to the unusual, to the unknown, only because God is saying. But it's important to know the voice of God. And you know what? Most of us can just trace back to the time where God spoke to us specifically about things that we needed to do in our lives, and it got lost somewhere on the path. Somebody perhaps had given us wrong counsel. We're in the wrong place, and we're now on a different path, and we're confused, and we are in some kind of trouble also because we're not where God wants us to be. And it wasn't easy for Abraham. He went out, and you look there. Abraham departed in verse 4. He departed as the Lord had spoken to him and Lot. And we've been studying this. If you can make it and you're at home, the Wednesday Bible study is absolutely fantastic. Because some of these nuggets that are coming out of the Old Testament, and we're studying, and thank God for Gil, she was bringing the study on Abraham. And there's so much stuff in Abraham already. That's why he's spoken about in the New Testament. Just in the New Testament, the Bible mentions him about 74 times. And you know what? They say if the Bible says something once, it's very important. If it's saying it twice, and take it. But Abraham's mentioned about 74 times in the New Testament, altogether in the Bible about 250 times. But that's how many times that this man is mentioned up in the Bible, and I think we need to take him seriously. He was a righteous man because of his obedience to God. It was all accounted to him as his righteousness. And also, the man was prosperous on the earth. He was blessed. Did he face hardships? Yes. Did he go through difficult times? Yes, he did. Okay. He departed and left, right? Verse 4. If you go down, verse 9. And Abraham journeyed, going on, still toward the south. Remember, the journey was not easy, right? We didn't have all the virgin trains, and we didn't have all these great flights. So he's out with his livestock, he's out with his servants, and the roads are rough. There's no tarred roads there. You know, there's no little chefs on the side of the road where you can stop and have a nice steak. You know, the man's on this uncomfortable journey, right? I don't know what he must have faced on his journey, thieves, robbers, or whatever that could have he could have encountered on this journey. But the man kept his face focused on the place that God wanted to take him. You see, we don't see all the things that the man had to go through to get to where his promise and blessing was. He faced all these kind of obstacles. I don't know whether there was murmurings and complainings amongst his servants because they all could have said, well, you know, we work for this man. Everything is fine and where we're living in of the Chaldees. Why do we have to go out into the wilderness? You know, staff can complain when there's a change in the company. We've all done that, didn't we? When they make some changes in the company, why do they do that? Why do they make that decision? Why do they have to move me from this department? I've been here for 20 years and I like it here. I've got all my friends here. I know how to operate the machines here. But now you're taken away and put somewhere else. Because God has his plan through all of that, isn't so? And the refining process is like that because God is on a journey with us. And he's never left Abraham. God is journeying with us all the time. And he watches us when we murmur, when we complain, and we're grumbling about all the little things, or even major or big things that we grumble and moan and complain about. Because he's saying to us, in other words, aren't you with me? Isn't this the journey that I put you on? And that's what he will do. He'll be with us. So we go on and he journeys. He still, the Bible clearly tells us, going on still, the man was persistent. He persevered. And there he goes. Verse 10, look at this now, right? Now there was a famine in the land. How's this for difficulties and struggles? God comes, gives you a great prophetic word. You feel it in your spirit. You're just so worked up with this. You stir your spirit up and you've gone full speed ahead. And then there's obstacles. There may be murmuring in the camp, complaining and grumbling. And then there's a famine also. But God has given you the word. How come there's a famine? How come he's facing this kind of a disaster? And Abraham had to make some adjustments and he had to do some things during that time. So he went down to Egypt to dwell there. He's still on his way, but he stayed in Egypt to dwell there because of the famine. The Bible says, for the famine was severe in the land. Sounds familiar, isn't so? Today, when they talk about recession, it's like a famine, isn't so? And it may sound severe when you think of some of these major companies and businesses that are closing down, that have multi-million businesses that are just closing down overnight. But the promises of God is still true, even though around Abraham, everything was collapsing and disaster was right there on his doorstep. God's promises are still true to us, even in the midst of our difficulty. His word is his word, and he never goes back on his word. So easy that Abraham could have said, this is now disaster. You know, I've followed God. I've come up to this point. I don't know how long it took for him to get there to this place near Egypt. And why would I have to stay there when in my father's place, there's a place of prosperity and blessing. Let me go back to my father's place and hang around there and stay there, because this famine is so severe. I don't know what's going to happen. That's what happens to us at times. We'll think about what's going to happen to my stuff. What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to all the things that I have? And the man had livestock, the Bible says. He was a wealthy man. The Bible says that he was rich. So going out now, can you imagine that? And you have to do that sometimes in business, isn't it? Make those decisions sometimes in business. Put some monies and investments in certain things. I had to do that myself when I was in business. Because God is saying something and you need to move towards that line. It's so important to hear the voice of church. It is so important to hear the voice of God in whatever we do. To make sure that every step on the way that we are in tune with God and that we are on track and we're on the right place and we're going to the right place. God spoke to us. He told us what to do. We just have to hear his voice and keep going. Yes, there may be famines and obstacles in the way, but just keep focused on what God said, because of what God said, it's going to happen. Right? And we just need to keep persevering and keep going. So he moved out. And he went, so he lived there in this place of famine for a period, because they say it was very severe. And he comes out of that. He comes out of famine. The Bible says in chapter 13, let's read there, chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram went from Egypt. You see, he had a short stay there. Well, I don't know how long it lasted. There was a time of famine. God pulled him through the famine. But he did not stay there, put his tent there and make it home, because he knew that he had to reach his final destination. Now, this is how we can get distracted, right? God calls us out, gives us a word. We know what our ministry and our calling and our gifting is. We start off on that journey. We go, we have obstacles, we have difficulties and hardships. And then we stay for a certain while. When everything starts to get blessed, we start to see fruit. And then we start to hang around and hang around and hang around and hang around so long, they almost forget that's not our final destiny. That's not our final purpose. That's not where we're supposed to be. But we're seeing fruit and we want to stay there. In my life, it happened to me like that in ministry. We started off working in the poor settlement areas, preaching the gospel. And eventually I had an opportunity through a local church. And through a local church is always God's plan to get connected to them. We got connected to the local church and we started to help out. And the church was growing. We saw a lot of fruit, a lot of young people. At one time, 75 to about 100 young people were coming in a small room where we were doing some ministry with. We helped out with a band, raised up the worship team, and helped out the minister with his work, and the work started to grow, and people were blessed, a lot of fruit that we saw. But we hung around, and we hung around, and I began to enjoy that fruit, and I'm thinking, this is a great thing to do. I'm enjoying the fruit. And then God brought a clear word, you are not supposed to be here. I'm giving you 2 weeks to get out. It was not the church. It was my calling. I was called as a minister. And to me, it's nice and easy when another minister is in charge and he's taking the responsibility and I'm just enjoying fruit. It's almost a place of comfort. But you're looking at a fruit and you're thinking, well, this is a great place. You know, the Swiss people were the first to create the digital watch. Do you know that? But when the person came up with the design of a digital watch, the directors looked at that and just thought, foolish. Digital? Who wants to look at that? We like to look at the needles and all the gears and everything that goes in the watch. That's what makes it the Swiss watch. The Japs came and ran wild with it. And today, almost everybody uses Japanese watches, isn't it? You know? And look at what happened, where they owned the monopoly of watches at one time, making all the money. It's now gone somewhere else, isn't it? So be creative. Oh, God is like that. He's a creator God. Who's put all this into our mind? So what happens is that when God wants to change things in us and he wants us to get out, we still want to stay there because it looks secure, it looks prosperous, it looks good, it looks fruitful, and I like to stay here because I feel secure here. And God is saying something else is coming because God knows the future, you see? God knows what's going to happen. And I believe God wants to make his church and his people wealthy, rich, prosperous people. He wants businesses to grow. Why? Because the church can grow, the ministry can grow, we can help more poor people, we can feed more people in the food banks, and we can go out and preach the gospel, and we can reach millions and masses of people, because then it'll all come from the church. We don't have to look to the government, we don't have to look to some kind of organization to help us with funding when we want to go out and spread the gospel. The only reason God blesses us with things materially and blesses us and prosper us is for the purpose of the gospel, not so that we can eat and get fat and sit at home and enjoy that. No, it's for the purpose of the gospel. Abraham was in the same situation. This is what he does. He meets Melchizedek in chapter 14. I'll close with that, right? Melchizedek is the king of Salem. There are some keys in the Old Testament that will help you. That will help you also prosper in whatever you're doing. Now, this doesn't just apply in businesses only, but it'll apply in your education. It'll apply in your career path. It'll apply in all the things that you're looking to and you're trusting God for in your ministry, your calling, your giftings. These are all important keys for you and for me. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, in verse 18, chapter 14, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. Abraham recognized the priestly office of Melchizedek. And what does he do in verse 19? And he blessed him and he said, blessed be Abraham. That's what the job of the priest is. That's what I am released to do, to bring blessings upon you, to pray for you, to intercede for you, to seek God for you, for whatever you do. And I need to make the time to do that. That's why we're getting some of the men to take away some of the practical things away from me, so that I can be released to do that. That's the calling, that's my office, and that's what I'm supposed to do. And I must have the time to do that and spend the time in doing that. So this is what he did. He comes out there, he's the priest of the Most High God. That's what the Bible calls him. And he blesses Abraham, the Most High God, and he says, the possessor of heaven and earth, and he blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. God had prospered and blessed this man so much. Keys already in the Old Testament. Why was he a blessed man? He was a giver. He respected God's order. He recognized a priest already. The priest recognized him as a man that already had blessings upon his life. And Abraham gives him a tithe of all, the Bible says, of all that he possessed. He blessed him with the tithe of that. God wants to get more to us, and he doesn't want to get it out of us. That's what sometimes, you know, people may think giving is. Oh, man, this is all I have to live on. Well, God wants to get more to you. God wants to get more to me. And sometimes it means giving what we have. Getting out of the comfort. Getting out of that security of ours. And saying, God, I'm getting out of my security by giving this. I'm trusting that you are God. And you are a provider. And you'll prosper and bless me. That there'll be food in my home. There'll be a shelter. And you'll provide for me and my kids. That's our God. So getting out of the comfort. Getting out of the ordinary into the unusual is where God's always calling his people. Why? Because he wants to teach us faith. Why? So he wants to get more to us. And see that everything he said to us, like he told Abraham, is going to come to pass, and he's going to bless us with it. So many situations you hear of where people said impossible, it's not going to be done, can't be done, it won't work out. And he did, for those that trusted God.